So there is this crazy story running around about how Abdul El-Sayed is a puppy killer. The story is nonsense. Pure, politically motivated nonsense. But it's been making the rounds on social media, and it's the kind of story that sticks in people's heads. So I'm here. I want to tell you the real story. I want to tell you what really happened. I want to tell you how right-wing media and influencers twisted the story, turning it into a dishonest attack. And I want to tell you why you should care about this. Whatever your politics are, even if you would never vote for Abdul El-Sayed, even if you're a red hat wearing MAGA, full MAGA Trump supporter, because this isn't just a story about a candidate or a dishonest attack. It's a story about how misinformation spreads and the poison it puts into our political system. I am Jonathan Cohen. I am a senior writer at The Bulwark. I am based in Michigan, where I've lived for more than 20 years. And that is important because the story at the heart of this saga is actually a story about Detroit and what things were like in 2015. The city was just starting to climb out of the hole it had been in after decades of economic decline. It was just 2 years removed from municipal bankruptcy. City agencies were decimated. The mayor brought in Abdul El-Sayed to rebuild the city's health department. And shortly after Abdul El-Sayed got there, the mayor said, "Hey, by the way, can you take over the animal control department too?" Now, there was a reason for that. The animal control unit was a mess. The facility was breaking down. Clogged drains were pushing back raw sewage into the kennels. Maggots were feeding on rats because of infestations. And the animals, there was story after story after story of neglect, abuse, cruelty all over the media. This was the situation that El-Sayed inherited. And I want to emphasize that word, inherited. He did not make these problems. He was asked to come in and fix these problems, which was no small thing because Abdul El-Sayed, he's a doctor, he's an epidemiologist. They never taught him anything about animal control, so he had to start from scratch. But he did what smart administrators do. He met with experts. He met with advocates. He got a look at some facilities that did things in a good way. He started changing policies, and then he brought in new leadership in the form of a respected animal welfare activist and expert. And the numbers tell a clear story about what happened afterwards. The euthanasia rate went way down. The adoption rate went way up. Even dog bites in the city fell by a third. It was a genuine story of accomplishment until the Daily Mail of London got a hold of it. The right-wing British tabloid ran a story with this headline: Abdul El-Sayed oversaw animal slaughterhouse as over 4,000 puppies and kittens killed under his watch. I saw that headline and did a double take. I remembered the coverage of the animal control unit back in the day. And that didn't sound like the story I had heard about what had happened after he took over. So I went, clicked through to the story, and I read, and I saw the bait and switch right there in black and white. That number, 4,000 animals killed. If you looked at the chronology, it was clear that a disproportionate share had happened during the calendar year 2015. But Abdul El-Sayed's appointment to take over animal control wasn't even announced until October of that year. In other words, the large number of euthanasias, the abuse stories, all of that had taken place before he took over. It was the very problem he was asked to fix. Now, if you read carefully enough into the article, there was an acknowledgement that things got better after he took over. But it was mentioned as an aside, something you would miss if you were reading quickly, or you didn't go all the way into the article, or if you simply read the headline, as most people will. And that word, slaughterhouse, that really stuck in my head because it's such a vivid word. Well, it turns out that came from a whistleblower lawsuit. But if you checked on the whistleblower lawsuit, it turns out that the events in the whistleblower lawsuit, the stories of abuse and neglect there, guess what? It was the same thing. They were from before El-Sayed took over. The story was so upside down, I didn't trust my own judgment. I tracked down the animal control director who Abdul El-Sayed had put in charge. I asked her, "Did this sound right to you? Is this what happened?" She said no. She said she was flabbergasted. She said the opposite was true. She said that Abdul El-Sayed had been, in her words, a quote, transformational and quote, impressive leader. She credited him with creating the conditions that allowed her to turn the department around. She could not believe what that Daily Mail story suggested.
This message is sponsored by Function. So August is National Wellness Month, and it feels like every wellness trend you see online comes with another gadget or a supplement that you're supposed to buy. I wanted to skip the guesswork and actually see what was going on inside my body. I want to know my baseline health before busy travel season, and Function gave me a way to do just that. Through Function, you get a set of tests that looks at more than just the basics. Their core biomarkers include white blood cell count, which actually maps your frontline immune defense, HSCRP, which can identify inflammation, and vitamin D and zinc, which are important for immune function and are commonly low. They also cross-reference things like ferritin for iron levels, MMA for active B12, and cortisol to understand how stress is affecting your body. And let's be honest, I got a lot of stress. I do the trio, I do the takes, constantly editing. It's stressful. I need to know how it's affecting my body. So I use Function, and you should too. I like having more information about what's happening inside my body so I can make more informed decisions. Check your health the way I do. Function provides 160 plus lab tests for $1 a day and member pricing on advanced imaging. Join at functionhealth.com/bulwarktakes and use gift code bulwarktakes25.
But by that point, the story was already starting to make the rounds. Influencers like Libs of TikTok, Laura Loomer, who had actually been reporting on this before, pushed the story around. The Republican National Committee picked it up and described Abdul El-Sayed as a puppy killer. Mike Rogers, the Republican Senate candidate running against Abdul El-Sayed, tweeted out, gee, if we can't trust Abdul El-Sayed with your pets, how are we going to trust him with the well-being of human beings? Eventually, Fox News did a story on it. And this was really interesting because if you actually read the Fox News story, they made it very clear early in the story that actually Abdul El-Sayed had made things better. But you had to click through because the headline on the Fox News story said, El-Sayed in the hot seat after sickening animal control record goes viral on social media. If you didn't click through, you didn't know the real story. Now, at this point, this story has probably been seen by millions and millions of people. And it's hard to know what difference it will make. I mean, on the one hand, this is a campaign with lots of attacks flying back and forth, some true, some not. This might barely register. But you know, stories about animal abuse, they do have a way of sticking and breaking through the noise. Just ask Mitt Romney or, you know, Kristi Noem. And that's where we get to the part of the story where you can do something about this. Yes, you. See, the reason these stories get around, the reason these stories make a difference when they do, is because people see the headlines, they hit like, they hit retweet, they repost, they send it to people without checking the facts, without reading the story, without thinking about the sources, without trying to do their own work. But you don't have to do that. The next time you see a story with some kind of fantastical accusation, don't just hit that button. Don't just tell other people to read it. Take a beat. Say, does this sound right? And if it does, check the story. Actually read the story. Think about the source. Is this a place that has a reputation for being reliable? Is this an institution, organization that actually does its own research and its own reporting and has a record that you can check? And if it doesn't pass all those tests, then maybe don't recirculate it. Don't hit like. Don't hit repost. And you know, you can do one more thing, which is you can think about the different sources out there and the difference between influencers and journalists. And you can pay attention to the ones that actually do their own reporting. Some from the left, some from the right, some that are try to be impartial. Get a mix and support these institutions and these organizations. Subscribe, give to donations, because the antidote to this kind of misinformation are the people and institutions that are trying to get the truth out. But they depend on donations. They depend on subscriptions. And yes, that includes those of us here at The Bulwark. You know, my colleagues and I who write these newsletters, who give you these videos, we are trying to get you the facts. We're trying to report, to do research, to give you information you can trust. And look, we won't always get it right. We're human beings. We make mistakes, but we'll correct them when we do, and we will do our best to tell you what we've really learned. Because here at The Bulwark and all these other institutions, we're trying desperately to inject a little bit of truth in this sea of misinformation that if we don't do something about it is going to destroy our politics.